All right, welcome to the 5D Academy of Higher Consciousness. I'm Zarathustra, broadcasting live from Los Angeles. And the topic of this week is loneliness, the difference between loneliness and aloneness. In the very beginning of my spiritual journey, at least consciously, later on, you realize that all of your life is basically, it is the spiritual journey, and the rest of it is just things that are accommodating to this journey. And I remember back in the day, I read something from Osho, and Osho was talking about that the higher you go the mountain of awakening consciousness, the higher you go, the lonelier it becomes. And just one moment, there's a plane flying right over my head. So I'm going to wait for this one to pass by.
Cool.
And the deeper you get within yourself, the more you dig in, the more you're getting expanded and you're awakening to the truth of who you are, there's going to be less people that you can share this with. And pretty much anybody who's been on this path of awakening, who's gone deep enough, they ought to experience this. It's sort of like it's impossible that you don't go through this process and you don't experience it. Now, there's different levels of your spiritual awakening until you get to the very top. And sometimes, your journey may start that you end up being in an ashram, you're around your guru. So there's a large number of people that sitting with the guru and, it becomes the family, you're together, it's a lot of fun, and you don't feel lonely. But you can't always be around the guru. You can't be always in the ashram. Eventually, you're forced to leave and go back to your home, go make some money and put things together or take care of your family or whatever is the story. And you're going to have to be by yourself. And you're going to have to fill the space. And for a lot of other people, before they get to the guru or they get to the spiritual community, they had to find their way. And most of us, we basically are growing up with mainstream families and we don't have spiritual support. Our parents, our siblings, school we go to, the community we are growing up in, it's not a spiritual community. I mean, maybe they're religious, or whatever is the story, it's not supporting you. So majority of us, we share the same story. And our story is that nobody understands me. Nobody knows, nobody understands what I go through. I'm the black sheep of the family. I'm the odd one. And I'm the weirdo. And so you're going to have to go on this journey on yourself, by yourself. And of course, help comes because you're supported on this journey. And eventually you find your way home if you're meant to get to the top of the mountain. And a part of this, I've used this analogy, this story before, is like, it's like in the beginning of the journey, it's like you're at the foothills of the Himalaya, and at the foot, and you want to climb and get to the very top of Mount Everest. And at the foothills of Himalaya, there's huge village. Maybe there's a town, there's a city, and there's all kinds of things going on. They sell hiking equipment. You can buy bags and shoes and boots and jackets and things like that. There's maybe yoga classes, there's restaurants, they're cooking food, there's a chai shop. There's all kinds of different things are happening at the base. So let's say you're a group of 30 people and you're all geared up and your goal is to get to the very, very top and climb Mount Everest to the peak. And out of these 30 people, the group starts to be climbing and slowly, slowly going up, uphill. So you may get to the first plateau or the face mesa, and it's nice and it's green and it's not cold and there's no blizzard or anything. And you know, you've been hiking for a day or two, and a couple of out of these 30 people, a few of them may say, you know what, this is good enough for me. I'm just going to settle here. It's very nice. It's green. There's water. It's not too cold. And I'm just going to settle shop here. Maybe I can offer something to the travelers, like maybe, you know, we can give them massage or we can make tea for them. Whatever it is, you settle down. You don't want to go any further. Then the group starts to keep climbing up, and things getting tougher. It's getting colder. There's storms. It's a tough hike going up, and every step gets harder. And then you get to the second mesa. You get to the second mesa, and another group of people will say, you know what? This is good enough for me. I don't need to go any further. And I'm just going to settle over here. And maybe I open up a little clinic for the travelers, the climbers. And then if they get hurt, they can come to my clinic and I take care of them. And that sort of stuff. So another group just settles there. So, and then you keep climbing higher and going to the third plateau. And by the time you get to the third plateau, things are getting tough, because you can imagine you're climbing Mount Everest and the temperature drops down. It's very, very cold. At times you may be hiking through serious blizzards. Your visibility is very, very hard. You're freezing the whole time. It's dangerous. It's icy. You may slip. You may fall down. You're running out of breath. It's a tough hike. So then, you know, trying to get to the fourth mesa, by then there's like only a few people left. There's like 3-4 people. Everybody else settled down at other plateaus. Anyway, by the time you get to the very peak of Mount Everest, as far as a human being can go, and when you get there and you look around and you realize there's nobody here, you're all by yourself. You're the only one who made it there. I mean, maybe if you're very, very lucky, there is somebody else, but that's a tough place to get to. And this is the same thing with levels of consciousness. The higher you go to, the more you get expanded, the more you awaken to the truth of who you are, the lonelier you're going to find yourself because it's a tough task to accomplish. It requires dedication. You have to have an iron will, and you have to be really possessed by the spirit to keep going forward. And many, many times you come across different kind of distractions that you may just settle for it. And I'll use different things. You know, as you're getting expanded and you're awakening, all kinds of things can happen. I mean, you may just come to a lot of psychic powers, healing powers, all kinds of intuitive knowing. And you may just settle down for that. And you may just say, okay, you know, I'm an incredible healer, and I'm getting known, and I'm healing people, and I'm making a lot of money. And I'm just going to set up shop at this level, and I'm not going to go anywhere else. I got it. I'm already awakened. I don't need to go any further. You know, all kinds of different things. Maybe you're a channeler, you're a psychic, different things. And we can see it. You can look around in the market, in the spiritual market, and you can see people who have very powerful abilities, and they're doing their work. They're helping a lot of other people, but they haven't fully awakened. They haven't come to the full enlightenment. And they've settled for whatever abilities that they have acquired, and they just don't feel like they need anything more. So those who, like, now I understand what Osho talks about, and Osho was saying, like, when you get to the very, very top and you look around and there is nobody there. So yes, you're going to discover and find yourself at the peaks of consciousness that there's barely anybody that you can talk to, because most other people, they are not willing to sacrifice and walk the path. It's tough. It's not easy. And if it was easy, everybody would do it. You would see masses of so many people at that level. They wouldn't just be settling down with trying to learn how to manifest this and how to create that with the power of their thoughts and yadi 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 and this kind of stuff. They would want to go deeper. And so is it lonely, this path? In a way, yes, it's lonely. Does it get more lonely? Yes, it does. It does get more lonely the deeper you go. And I don't want to put it in a bad way, like to discourage you of not going deeper. Part of you may think like, oh, wow, then I don't have anything to look forward to. Of course, there is a lot to look forward to, because what you get from arriving to the very peaks is freedom. And it's freedom from suffering. Freedom from identifying with somebody who's separated, somebody who has all these desires and all these fears and is trying to manipulate life to get what they want. So you free yourself from that person. You feel free yourself from your thoughts, your worries, and your fears and the desires. So there is a lot to accomplish and look forward to. But a part of it is this path that you have to walk, and you have to walk it by yourself. You may have companions along the way, but ultimately you're going to have to walk this path by yourself to the very end and walk through the gates on your own. Nobody can walk you through it. Or hold your hand at the gate. You have to walk by yourself. And of course, at the very end, when it comes to the end of your life, end of the life as this body, you have to die by yourself. At the very, very end of this journey, your last step is to let go of this body, of this identification, that I am this, I am my last name, I am my name, I am my status, I am my money, I am my looks. And you got to let this one go. When you're about to cross over, you got to let this one go too. So again, in that moment, you're going to be all alone by yourself. Now, a lot of us, we start experiencing this loneliness. And I'm going to explain to you the difference between loneliness and aloneness. Okay. I'm going to get into that too. What's the difference? But let's look at our current situation. Most of us, some of you, you've been with me for a number of years, and I get to know you personally seeing you at the workshops, retreats. So it's more of an intimate relationship that we have developed with each other. But a lot of the spiritual seekers on the path, they're singles. They're not in partnership. And some of them who are in a partnership, their partner is not interested. They didn't hear the calling. You heard the calling and the spirit is pulling you in, but the spirit is not calling your partner. So here you are with this person who you very much love and respect, but now your path, your spiritual path is separating you and you're going in a different direction. And all of a sudden it's separating from your parents, your children, your colleagues, and you're getting pulled into this direction of awakening, and you're finding yourself further away and more separated than ever before with the people you love. They just don't understand what you're going through. They don't understand the language. You know, they've heard of meditation, they've heard of yoga, but they don't have a clue what's going on with you because they're not awake. They're not called yet. You've been called. So naturally, you're going to feel lonely and you're going to start seeking for your spiritual family, because and as you start finding your spiritual family, a bonding starts to take place because you're speaking a language that language is not applicable with your family and your loved ones. This language is only being understood by your spiritual peers. Now, something happens in this phenomenon. There is a period, and I don't know how long that period takes for each and everybody, but this has been my observation that we all, and it's part of the initiation on this path, is a part of this road, whether we like it or we don't like it, is that you're going to find yourself by alone. Now, if somehow, you know, you had a partner, you went through a divorce or separation, or you had your kids living with you and the kids grew up and they left, and all of a sudden you get to a point that you find yourself all alone by yourself. And that's where you have to be aware, and it gets tricky because the mind starts to come. By now, you're maybe a little bit older, and the thought starts coming in like, oh, I'm not good enough. I screwed up. I had it all and I lost it. Look at the other people that they're married or they have their family together. And if I had done this, or if I had done things differently, I wouldn't be in this situation. So the mind is going to come and starts beating you up. And the mind comes and tells you that I'm lonely. Nobody wants me. No one's attracted to me. Nobody pays attention to me. And starts creating stories. And you must understand, if you don't have the correct, proper spiritual training, this is a very dangerous place to be at, because it can lead you easily into depression. It can lead you to a place that you want to commit suicide and take your life. All kinds of different things that can turn you crazy. It can take you into addictions, drugs, alcoholism, or whatever. You got to be careful when you come to this place. You have to be really zen and really aware. And that's the time that you need to stay connected to the spiritual masters and understand those ahead of you, what they went through and how they dealt with this process. Now you're going through a passage, and this passage is the passage of loneliness, that as you become aware, it can shift to aloneness, from loneliness to aloneness. And there is a big difference here. Because what happens is the more you're into this, the more you are diving within yourself, the more it's become difficult to be around the noise. The noise, other people, blah, 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 becomes pollution. Like, it becomes very clear after a while, like being around ordinary mainstream people, whether they're close family or friends, colleagues, and they're just yapping because they're very much involved in the world. The world seems very real to them. And the issues of the world, the dramas of the world, the ups and downs of the world, the fears and the desires of the world is very real to them. And they don't have any spiritual training. They don't know what meditation is. They are not looking inside. They're looking outside. They're looking for peace in the outer world. And since the outer world is in a flux, and it's always up and down, and it doesn't offer any comfort, not permanent comfort, so they're very much in their mind and they're just going crazy. You are expanding. In this process of your expansion, it requires protecting yourself from the outside world. Whether you do it consciously or you don't, it won't matter. What happens is you just can't tolerate the noise pollution or the vibrations of other people that is polluting your space. So what happens is you're just going to find yourself that you really enjoy a lot of times being alone by yourself, or you want to be with a spiritual partner, a spiritual friend who are vibrating in the same frequency as you do. People could be spiritual, but they're not necessarily vibrating in the same frequency as you do. So you want to either be by yourself and not be disturbed because you just can't deal with blah, 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 and the world of thoughts and that frequency. So it's either that, or you want to be with someone who's vibrating or at the same frequency. So all of a sudden you find yourself in this, you look back and you say, what happened? I'm all of a sudden left out. I can't really hang out with my family or my worldly friends. Or if I do, it's in a very short period of time and they're bugging me. I want to be alone by myself. I want to be left out. But then the more you're spending time by yourself alone, whether you're in the nature or at your own home, is the more you're getting distant from the mainstream world and the mainstream people. So a period of time goes by and all of a sudden the thoughts, the loneliness, it will creep in that, oh my God, I'm so lonely. I don't have anyone to connect with and to get any juice from. And that's where you need to be very aware to recognize the difference of being lonely versus wanting to be alone, wanting to be alone in your own space. Loneliness is a product of the mind. Loneliness is a sense, a feeling that you're left out. That's basically it. Aloneness is a different story. Aloneness comes from this place that you're comfortable with being by yourself. You're okay with that. You don't have to have someone around you or some pets around you or some music around you or some kind of noise around you all the time. You are ready to look inside. And of course, when you first come to this or in earlier stages, it's scary to be alone in the middle of nowhere because you have to look inside. You're all by yourself. You're left out. It's you, your mind, your emotions, and your body. And if you're willing to disconnect and not point finger at the world outside, then you need to look inside. You have to face yourself. And that's extremely frightening for majority of people on the planet. They will do anything, anything, not have to spend any time by themselves. They'll fill up their time with whatever, more kids, more work, TV, noise, whatever, pets, whatever I can do to distract myself so I don't have to look within. I don't have to spend time with myself, because once your attention goes inwards, you touch something. You're touching this incredible oneness, this incredible field of consciousness. It's vast, the vastness of the presence of the being. And now, for the first time in your life, your mind is turning inwards. You are disconnecting from the mind's entertainments that's happening outside, whatever that is. Let me smoke a cigarette. Let me have a drink. Let me do some drugs. Let me have some sex. Let me make more money. Let me go shopping. Let me find a new boyfriend, girlfriend, more kids, whatever that is. Your attention is going inwards. You're being forced to touch something within yourself, which is vast and means encountering your own being, looking inwards. And there could be a lot of fear rising out of that, because all of a sudden you're in this place that you're alone. Let's say you went to a Vipassana meditation for 10 days. There is no phone. There is no distraction. You're not allowed to contact the outside world. You can't talk to other members of who are doing Vipassana meditation. It's absolute silence. And in that time, you're forced to pay attention to what's going on inside you. And there's like turmoil, fire, volcano, thoughts, emotions, stuff that you need to look at, that you don't want to look at. Because up to now, you've been trained to point finger at other people, outside world, because it's easy to find things screwed up in the outside world. There's millions of things screwed up in the outside world, whatever that is. It's the weather, it's the economy, it's the government, it's the other people, whatever that is. And it's very, very frightening to look at yourself, because you have to look at what's in there and take responsibility for looking at it. So a lot of people will go through this process. You may call it the dark night of the soul, which is very confusing. And these are the time that it's really good to have direction. These are the times that you really need to be connected to someone who's awakened, someone who's walked this path, and they can help you, direct you, give you advice of how to handle things. They can't do it for you. You have to do it yourself. You have to face yourself. But at least having some kind of guidance, some direction. How did other people do it? What did they go through? A point of reference. And what happens if you're courageous enough, if it's meant for you to happen, if you're really determined and you want to go all the way and you're not going to give up. You remember we talked about going the mountain, climbing the mountain of consciousness, and some people would just settle down for wherever they got to. But if you're not going to settle down and you want to go deeper, so what happens is eventually you begin to recognize the power that exists in here, in the presence, the magnificent, majestic power of the presence that you begin to touch, the expanded being. And as you touch it and you feel it, you are diving into it, the mind starts to quiet down. Your mind starts to become quiet, it tames down. And you feel the presence, which is the heart, the love, the vastness of the being that's within yourself. And you start to feel the bliss, You start to feel blissed out. It's subtle. It could be in a form of explosion, but slowly, slowly, you start to feel it. And slowly, slowly, you start to feel that you're not alone. There is presence here. And slowly, slowly, you start to feel like you've never really been alone. There's a whole commotion going on of the angelic realm, different realms, the masters, the fairies, of the being, the power of the presence. But you have to go through that passage to get to this point. You can't fake it. It's impossible. Existence will get you, but that's a part of your path. There's no way you can bypass it. No way. Literally, every single being who's coming to full awakening has to go through that passage. That's a part of the deal. There's no way out. But aloneness, once you come to understand it, is different than loneliness. Aloneness is complete. It's full. It's needless. Loneliness is needy. It's incomplete. Anybody has any questions? There's a part that I missed, didn't explain it. Don't be shy. I'm not going to bite you. You can ask questions. You can either unmute yourself, or if you want to write something on the chat box, you know, talking to me directly, it's easier, of course. Also, you must understand that although it does appear, it appears, okay? I'm going to repeat myself again. It appears that you're on this journey by yourself, but it's impossible that you can walk this journey and be invited to come home on your own. It's not like you have chosen it consciously, at least at one point in your life, you decide, you know what, I want to awaken, or I want to be a spiritual seeker. Something awakens you, and something invites you, and something is pulling you in. So one thing you want to fall back on a regular basis is always reminding yourself, remembering that trusting existence, trusting God, trusting life, because it's life that is carrying you. It's life that is fueling you. And it's life that's supporting you on this path. As much as you may be in these dark places, that nothing is working out and there's no way out and you don't have no idea what to do. You're down and out. Maybe you're broke. Maybe you're heartbroken. You don't have any love in your life. You always have to come back to this place, that this is a part of your spiritual journey and you're being looked after by the spirit, because there's no way you get to this point on your own. It's just impossible. You cannot get to where you're at here at this point on your own. Something has brought you here. Something's taking care of you. Something's feeding you. Some forces are paying your bills. Some forces are putting things together. That same force, all of a sudden you go on Facebook and you find a video, or you go on YouTube and all of a sudden you find a video from Ramana Maharshi. You find a video from Eckhart Tolle. You find a video from Osho, and you click on it and you listen to it and you resonate. And then that leads you to another spiritual teacher or whatever. Something is leading you. So you want to always remind yourself and come back to this place that you're taken care of, you're guided, and you're being loved. Even though you are challenged, you go through challenges. That's a part of the deal. Let's see. Okay, we have a question here. Someone's asking me how to get through the passage easier. That's a good one. To get through the passage easier is to trust that everything is God's will, and it's God's will that you're here. And B is to trust that which has brought you to this world is the one that is going to carry you through. So trusting. When your mind wants to go crazy and all these crazy thoughts come to your mind that you feel so lonely and you don't want to live anymore and you want to shoot yourself and da-da-da, which I have gone through that many different times, is to come back to the center and to be reminded, trusting that life, God, existence, the spirit is carrying you. You're being carried. So then the mind quiets down. You get to a point that you don't feel lonely. You get to a point that you really enjoy your space, really enjoy being somewhere alone by yourself, as well as being with other people. Don't take me wrong. But you start to recognize, appreciate, and come to this place that your space by yourself is very sacred, and you get comfortable with it, and you're not willing to compromise that as you go forward. How are you doing, Mona? What time is it in Kish Island?
Hello there. Hi. It is almost 9:45. No, it's 9:45 p.m.
Okay.
And I do apologize. I'm a little bit sleepy. I don't know why, but normally we sleep late here. I mean, up to 2 a.m. or something, because in the morning it's very hot most of the time. The life goes on at night, but I don't know, tonight I feel a little bit sleepy, but I'm just trying to stay awake.
Okay, well, I'm glad you're here with us. So I thought it was later then, but it looks like 9:45. So let's see, what time is it here? Okay, 11:15, 9:45. So it's about like 10 and a half hours. And what's the average temperature during the day on the island at this time of the year?
Actually, I just checked it today. It is like in the morning, it is 32. In okay. The evening, 27. And the humidity today was 60%. Amazing. Okay. Like now it is heaven, but in the summer it's too hot.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Now it is amazing.
It kind of reminds me of Tulum, because Tulum at this time of the year is really nice. So, but when you get close to summer, it gets pretty hot.
Actually, yeah, I mean, here, I love it. Like, and the sea, it has been like 3 days that I'm not going to work, to be honest. I feel like going swimming. And today I couldn't stop swimming. It was amazing. And the water is clear and we have coral reefs and you can see all the animals and I mean marine life. And the good thing is that not many people swim to like the middle of the sea, so it's really fun. You have alone time there in the middle of the sea. That's great.
Yeah, cool. Thanks for sharing. Yeah. Karen, you're in Tulum now? What's the weather like? Is it too hot during the day or?
There was a lot of rain yesterday.
Yeah, every time I check my phone to see what the weather's like, it says 60, 70% raining.
No, the weather has been really, really nice. It's been perfect, right? Also, it's good for me to get used to the heat. But yesterday there was like so much water everywhere. And also tonight and this morning, but now it's clearing up. Yeah.
Okay. So it's kind of been like, what, 32 degrees during the day?
You know, I don't check things like that, but yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Hi, Mia. Welcome back.
Thank you.
How are you?
Well, I guess I'm right where in the place you're talking about, in the sense of experiencing some isolation, a sense of isolation. Part of it is maybe a conscious choice, because as I'm going through all these things, looking at myself, it can be very rough and deep. There's also a lot of light, actually. I feel connected and can always become quiet and go inside, but I feel so vulnerable right now. And
I get it. Yeah, at some point you have to get out and connect, because ultimately the human race, it wasn't designed to be on its own alone all the time. We're packed animals. So we need to be around our pack, some more, some less.
Yeah, there's a lot of, endings and beginnings, how to say it. Changes,
yeah.
And I know I have to practice having faith that spirit has got me, but I also feel like I really need to learn that I have got myself, that I can hold myself and I can support myself. I can comfort myself. I think I haven't been very good at that.
You're here now. It looks like you're doing a good job.
Yeah. I'm prioritizing being here because I'm really grateful that you are here for us to connect with you. Yeah, it's very helpful.
Yeah, it takes sometimes a long time to master this part, to master the part that you find the balance between aloneness of staying in your own space, which at times is like priceless, like you don't want anyone around you, you don't want to talk to anybody, you don't even want to answer a text message. You just want to be in your own space because it's so beautiful. And being around other people at the time, like really get the sensation that I need to connect. I need to have people around me. I need to talk to them. For me, it's like I need both. My being requires both. I just can't be a hermit. That's not my path of just being in a monastery all day long by myself and not connecting. I do have friends that they can easily be alone on their own for a long time. And I have friends that they cannot. They have to have people around them. So it took me a very, very long time to find the balance and recognizing how my being is, that I really need both. I do not want to live with one without the other one. It doesn't serve me. So it's very good to come to that place.
I feel somehow an obligation to balance myself in some aspects before I think, I can be a healthy relation, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But getting there, working on it.
Hi, Shadi.
Hi, how are you? Hi, everyone.
Good. Yeah, hi.
Hi, I just had a question in regards to when you were saying, I get the aloneness, loneliness. But when you're in that space where you are the aloneness and then you're just basically, you feel one with everything and you've had that experience, at that moment, then you're also not really feeling like you're a person or a body or just an energy field, right? Is that the experience that you get in that moment where you just feel like the oneness, unconditional love, and not identifying with anything when you go into that area or space?
Yeah, it's in the absence of something. Sorry, okay. It's in the absence of the thinking mind. When the mind's not there, and there is, I'm sorry, I'm just going to right now mute. There's a background noise I'm hearing. So I'm just going to, and then we can unmute you again so we can talk. Okay. So I'm just muting everybody because I could hear some noise. And then you can unmute yourself if you want to talk to me. So it's in the absence of the mind, because it's the mind and these sensations that come with it that is saying, oh, I feel so lonely, I feel left out, I don't have anyone to connect with. But when the mind is not there and it's silent, there is no story about it. There's a function, it's happening, the body is functioning, but it's free from any kind of stories. Is it making any sense?
No, that wasn't that part I understood. It was just that when you reach that time, that space of just silenceness of the mind, and you just, the thoughts are basically pretty much subsided. You're not identifying with any of the clouds coming and going, and you're, it's just space. I find at those times though, sometimes there's noise because you still hear things, you know, like if something chirps or something, then it somewhat brings you, I'm not saying it brings you out, but then you sort of see that as part of the spaciousness too at that time, because it's the hearing that, that then if something, you know, when you're basically have no thoughts and then there's just sometimes outer sound. Anyway, that wasn't the part of my, I'm going off topic. I'm going off topic now. So I get what you're saying. It returns to the known mind. That was, that's the part that I understood. I was just saying in that moment, then you also just feel like you're just energy. You're not really anything, right? Not even, you're not really, you don't feel like.
Yeah, I mean.
It just becomes vast. Like it just becomes like a vastnessness of a field. And then you might.
Yeah, I mean, you're hanging out in a room, you're somewhere and there's no thoughts or there's no significant thoughts. There's no thoughts of a story. You're just hanging out.
Yeah. And then the other part was that when you said that the more you go on this path, the more you want to be in that alone space, would that automatically happen? Like as part of the will
say
of
that,
God?
Say that part again. I didn't understand.
I said, when you're basically committed to a path and you feel yourself going towards, you know, more of wanting to have solitude and you sense that coming out, everything will arrange itself according to that. And then you'll just notice one day that, okay, this, you tend to have more space between people and events and relationships and you're just on this solitude path.
Okay, let me just speak. I can only tell you about my personal experience, okay? And is like whether I liked it or not, at one point, all of a sudden, I discovered myself with no friends around me. All of, by moving so much from one town, one city to another city, one country to another country, I just started losing all of my friends. I'm not saying they weren't my friends anymore, but I just didn't have them around me. And then meeting new people, but they weren't really my friends. So suddenly I just discovered myself all alone. And that happened like a couple different times in my life. And it was painful. And there was nothing I could do. I mean, of course, you do whatever you can to numb yourself, or I did whatever I could to numb myself and go through it, but I couldn't manipulate existence to put me in this place of the center of attention of having all these friends around me, because there were parts, times in my life like I was in the center. Like I had a nice house and everyone always was coming to my house, and I would put the events together or the parties together and had a lot of people. Anytime I wanted to go hiking, I could call around and there was always someone wanted to go on a hike or go to lunch and do something. And all of a sudden I found myself not having anyone anyone around me and had to go into loneliness. Felt very, very lonely. And it has happened in two or three different occasions in my life, that there were periods, like a few years that I had to go through it. That makes you question, like, where did you go wrong? What did I do? You know, what happened? And makes you doubt things like, oh, nobody loves me, or I can't find my lover, or I can't find my bros, or what's wrong with me, or what did I do wrong? And then it forces you to dig deep inside, or having many, many lonely nights by yourself. You're eating by yourself, you're watching a movie by yourself, and it keeps repeating itself over and over and over again. And as your awareness expands, you start to realize that it is a process of your spiritual journey, because existence is very well aware that of your needs. Life knows what your needs are. But then again, you know, this is a the way I see it. This is the only reason I was born and I'm on this planet. And this is the most important thing in this life, as far as I'm concerned. Of course, I have other desires, a lot of other desires, some fulfilled, some unfulfilled. But ultimately, this is the only thing, to awaken and to come to freedom. Self-realization is to come to freedom, freedom of suffering, to end the suffering in this life, to transcend it, to master the mind and to become free from it. And you have to pay a price. It's tough. It's not easy. Yet, some parts is very easy, but I mean, it appears to be tough. Let me correct myself. It appears to be tough because you're waking up from the dream, from the illusion, from the whole thing. A lot of like Cinderella stories that we grew up with, you know, like I'll give you one example of it. Like the Cinderella story that you're going to meet your partner and you're going to get married and have kids and happily live thereafter till the end of your life, which, you know, I kept living this life and I kept going forward and just realized like every time I got to that thing and I'm hanging on to it, it just evaporates. And yet I see some people that, oh, they found their partner, they're living with their partner and, oh, they look like very happy and da 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 da. But for me, it was like every time I came to this thing and I thought, oh, I got it, it just evaporated. And I was like empty handed. And, you know, it keeps happening over and over again to the point you realize that, wait a minute, this doesn't, it's not real. It doesn't exist. So it was a great idea. I'm just talking about personal experience. I'm not talking about anybody else. My direct experience, because that's all I've got to talk about. I can't vouch for anyone. Everybody's got their own way. But it was like, wow, looks like I can never get to this thing. So then it makes you question, like, maybe it's not even there. It doesn't even exist. It's an illusion, like a mirage. You're driving in the desert and you see water. Literally, I mean, you see a lake. And you're driving towards it. And the more you drive towards it, the further it goes. You just don't get to it. And it's painful. But in that process, something happens. It's like you're cooked. You're being cooked. A lot, you know, in Persian, in mysticism, they refer that to cooking. It's like a stew. Like God is making a stew. And you're in that stew. You're like a piece of lamb in that stew and you're being cooked. Hi, Lina. Lina, you look very familiar. Where do we know each other from?
From Bergen and Oslo. It's a long time ago, like in 2014.
Okay.
Yeah. So okay. I were in many workshops, I think many in Oslo, and then I were two times in Bergen too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, nice to see you and welcome back.
Thank you. Yeah. Nice to hear.
What inspired you today to join us, to come to the academy?
I just listened to you for some days ago, and it inspired me a lot because I'm on again, on the path.
Okay.
And I'm also, like you say, sitting a lot of alone. Yeah.
Right.
In my own company, but I don't feel like I'm lonely because I try to fill it up with good stuff, like good thoughts. Yeah.
Right. Are you in you're in Bergen or you're in Oslo now?
I live in Lørenskog outside Oslo.
Okay.
So nice seeing you too.
Nice seeing you. Yeah, always welcome.
Thank you.
Hi, Stella. You have to unmute yourself. I can't hear you.
Oh, hello. How are you?
Yeah, good. Thanks. Where are you from, Stella?
Originally, I'm from Colombia, but I live in Las Vegas.
Okay.
And I've seen you in several conventions in Los Angeles in the convention center. Mm-hmm. I mean, on the Hilton, whenever they had the, on right. February.
Yeah, Conscious Life Expo, right.
Conscious LA. Life Expo, and I've been in a couple of conferences that you had there.
Okay, right.
So that's how I met you.
Well, now,
and every time I want to make see your program and something happens, and today I, all of a sudden I remember, oh my God, I almost forgot you. So I made it.
Well, welcome. I'm glad you made it today.
Thank you. Thank you. Very interesting what you're talking about. Very good.
Well, I'm happy. I'm glad that you're enjoying it. Right?
Thank you.
Welcome. Hi, Manuela from Hawaii. I don't know if you're listening. No. Okay. Hi, Annalie. Annalie, hi. Are you there? I haven't talked to you for a long time. Where are you, Annalie? All right. Yeah, Annalie, are you there? No. Okay, cool. She's not listening. Or she doesn't want to say hi.
Yes, I say hi to you.
Oh, hi. Hi, Annalie.
Yes, I say hi. I forget to put on the button. Thank you for a really good speak today. It was really good.
Long time no see.
No, exactly. Was it long time ago?
Yeah. How are you?
Good? Fine. How are you?
I'm good, thank God.
Yes, is every you are in LA now or you Sedona?
Yeah, I'm in LA. Yeah.
LA. Yes. Is this good day there? Is everything nice?
Yeah, everything's okay. Everything's good. At least in my world. So no, it's good.
Good to hear.
Yeah, I can always.
Here in Stockholm now we begin to be, you know, the rain and winter, and so right. Now it's beginning to be cold.
I get it.
Yes. Yeah. But it's nice to see you. Of course, I work a lot, so that's why I've been occupied. So my day has been full with work, you know, because Stockholm, you know, in Sweden we have opened up everything, so now everything is normal.
Okay. Well, yes. I'm happy to hear that.
Yes, thank you.
Nice talking to you.
Yes, nice to hear you. Thank you.
Yeah. All right. So we're coming to, we got another 10, 15 minutes. Anything anybody wants to share? You have a question? Go for it, Mona.
Actually, I haven't got a question, just another thing that I wanted to share regarding loneliness and aloneness. It was very nice. I really enjoyed it.
Moment. I'm sorry. One moment, because let me mute. Okay, just one second. Okay. Now you can unmute yourself.
Okay. Do you have my voice
now? Yeah, I got your voice now. Go ahead.
Okay, I really like the topic aloneness and loneliness and like the difference. I really enjoyed it and just wanted to share my own experience. I had the same experience like since I was a child. I don't know, I was labeled an introvert. I had problem just getting along with others. I spend most of my time doing things for myself, like playing with myself. I didn't want to get involved with other children. However, people came to me like other people came to me to befriend me, you know, but I prefer to be alone most of the time. And then as I grew older, it was the same, like, and I felt like everything is changing. People come to my life and they leave. And I was really okay with that. Like it wasn't a big deal. While for my other friends and family members, it was a big deal. Why can't you have friends? Why don't you get involved with that? I said, that's not my priority. And right now, still I prefer to be alone. And I had the, like before you explained the difference, I wanted to say, what if you don't want to get involved with others too much? Because there are a lot of things and you are actually not alone when you are by yourself, you know. For me, it is like there's always things to be appreciative of, you know, you can think of good things, and you can, as you have already told us, observe other people's behavior, like by
right.
getting away. So I just wanted to share my experience that it's like, it's a bliss, I think, to be like alone. Then.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, you know, we're all wired differently. So there's no set formula whether you should be around people or you should not. But of course, I mean, loneliness is an epidemic, and it's a product of the 21st century, or 20th and 21st century. I don't think we really had it to this extent, to this extremity, 100 years ago, because we were living in tribes. You had to live in communities and villages, and you didn't have a lot of the issues that we have today. So, you know, there were the tribe, the village, they were all living together. Everyone was taking care of each other's kids. Grandmas, grandparents were around. You didn't have to take your grandmother to the nursing home because the tribe was taking care of it. You didn't have to put your kids in daycare because the tribe was taking care of them. So everybody was together and helping each other, building things, repairing stuff, cooking food, laughing, dancing, crying together. So this didn't really exist unless, you know, you lived in the middle of nowhere on your own. Yeah, but generally people lived in tribes and villages, and that got destroyed. And it became a modern life that you're on your own. So you got separated in this way. So this issue started to be created. And it's a product of the modern day era. Very good. Well, we're coming to the end of our academy. I'm very, very grateful of all of you. Thank you for joining me. We will have our next academy next Wednesday. My social media pages, the address is Zarathustra5D. My email is info@zarathustra.tv, and my website is zarathustra.tv. I look forward to seeing you next week. Feel free if you have any comments, or you want to send me an email, or is there a topic that you want us to talk about, just write to me. info@zarathustra.tv, and I welcome that. Other than that, I don't have any events or any kind of upcoming workshops at this moment. Academy is the only thing I've got. We will send you a copy of this video. Those of you who signed up with me through the Zoom, we have your email, and we're going to send you the podcast and the full video. We also put up the video on YouTube, and we chop it in 10 or 8 sections, so you can watch it on my YouTube channel, which is Zarathustra5D. Take care of yourself. God bless you. And I look forward to seeing you next week. Namaste.